Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, coming up, we'll talk about a Bears win after a couple of stressful weeks and what it means for Caleb Williams. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, you and I are in the scenic press box area of Soldier Field, minutes after a 24-18 Bears win against the Rams. In a game that was businesslike and good, and not dramatic, not fluky, not weird. It was, I think, exactly what the Bears needed.
Yeah, and it was solid overall. There isn't anything, I don't think, in this game that you look at and you're that you hate.
No.
You look at Caleb Williams, fine. Defense, fine. Skill players, fine.
Special teams, great.
Special teams, Eberflus, Waldron, all the things that could be potential areas of frustration, all pretty good. And we should start with Caleb Williams because that's where everything starts for them. Short term, long term, the whole franchise is riding on Caleb Williams. Half the yards that he had last week, but probably twice as good of a performance. Very efficient, no turnovers, big plays when they needed it, Patrick. Not a great first half for Caleb Williams, but no disasters, and then came out in the second half much better. 74-yard touchdown drive, their longest touchdown drive of the year, a really nice pass in the back of the end zone to DJ Moore by Caleb Williams to finish it. There was just a lot of good decision-making by Caleb Williams, and you win differently here than you do in the Pac-12.
Right.
It's a lot of little plays and then a couple of big plays. And I think you saw that today. His final line is not going to wow you. It's kind of like last week. Last week, if you look at that final line, you're going to think, wow, he must have lit it up. But if you watched the game, you'd say, nah, not really. This week, if you only looked at the stat line, you'd be kind of unimpressed. But if you watched the game, you'd be like, oh, hey, that is a step forward. That is progress. He's 17 of 23. I think that's easily his highest completion percentage in a game. 157 yards. So what's that put him? About 7.6 or 7 yards per throw. That's pretty good.
I don't do math.
106.6 passer rating. A touchdown pass. No interceptions. No fumbles. Just a really good all-around game. And I liked not only his decision-making in the obvious sense of didn't throw any interceptions or any near interceptions or anything at all. I don't think there was one pass by him, Patrick, unless I'm forgetting it, where you were just like, ooh, that is not a good one. That was rough. But it was also the more subtle play-to-play decision-making on his reads, recognizing what was there to take and taking it. And in the case of both that touchdown pass to DJ Moore and the 22-yard pass Cole Kmet that kept a touchdown drive going in the fourth quarter, it was a case of really, really good reading the defense, really good perception and recognition and reaction to what the defense was showing him.
Coming into this game, he'd thrown more passes than any quarterback in football. That's bad news for the Bears and probably bad news for him, but one thing it has done is it's given him this Rolodex of information that he can sort through. You saw him at the line of scrimmage today looking more confident and better than he had all year. I don't think there was a delay of game at any point. There was really not a point where the Bears were running around looking like they didn't know what they were about to do. Now, there were false starts and other penalties, but he really did look confident, and you're right, it was by far his best game. Cole Kmet said something along the lines of, hey, I don't know, how into stats you are, but, this is the finest football game he's played all year. Completely agree. And I think that is a good sign long-term for the Bears, and it's a good sign short-term, too. We talk about how important it is to grow him. It's also important to win and dial the temperature down in the city and in that locker room, and that's what today did. I asked Cole whether, can everybody kind of take a deep breath now, and is that a good thing? He said, we don't want to breathe too deep, but, we don't want to take our foot off the gas, but there's an element of it's not quite the crisis this Sunday that it's been the last 2 weeks.
I think, Pat, when you talk about the short term and the long term when it comes to Caleb Williams, this fits both. This is 157 yards. I mean, we were killing Justin Fields for this kind of stat line toward the end, just in terms of the yardage. But Justin Fields was in his third year.
Right.
This this performance that he had today fits both trajectories for me. This is kind of why I thought they'd be pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. This is why I thought they'd be better than what they are right now, which is barely 2-2, is because I thought Caleb Williams...
Hold on, let's stop. Barely 2-2. What's that mean?
What do you mean?
Barely 2-2. They're 2-2.
They beat... Did you remember the Titans game? That's barely.
2-2 is 2-2.
Okay. If he plays like this, mm-hmm. they can win.
Yep.
And if he plays like this, it is kind of on schedule
yep.
for a rookie quarterback's development. If those first three games were neither. Mm-hmm. Those first three or four games, you're looking at it saying, like, man, he's... Not only is he not ahead of schedule like we all thought and he thought and the Bears thought he would be, he's lagging a little bit. I mean, look at Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, everything is clicking for him much faster. Caleb Williams is behind that pace for rookies, and it's not winnable
right.
for the Bears. Those aren't winning performances. This is both. This is a game that where if he plays like this against anybody, they will have a decent chance to win the game with a developing quarterback. This is also the type of game you'd like to see from your quarterback in his fourth career game.
Before today, they'd led for 7.5 minutes, I think 7:35 all season long. Being able to play with the lead, I think, was important for him. And being able to hold that lead. I mean, you know, they took the lead in the second quarter, a couple of plays after Montez Sweat had a strip sack fumble. And they never gave it back. I don't believe they did, right? That's important. That's a whole different environment than he's played in all year long.
Chasing.
Yeah, and he didn't have to play chase. And because of that, you're right. If this is his baseline, if this is kind of who he is, and, you know, maybe some days it's a little worse, and then maybe later in the season the highs are a lot higher than they are now, like, you can not only live with that, you can win with that. And, you know, that's important. You know, Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus had a really bad week because winning is important. It was more than just a style points thing. It was the Bears, for the first time, Bears fans felt like, you know, they lost a game they should have won. And had they done that again today, it would have turned ugly quickly.
Beyond Caleb Williams, this is kind of a materialization of what everybody would have sketched out the Bears offense to look like this year, I think. When we talk about their skill players, a lot of attention, of course, on Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. One player, Keenan Allen, who is pushing toward a Hall of Fame case. Another in DJ Moore, who just turns in 1,100 yards every year, no matter who's playing quarterback. Then you have Rome Odunze. Everybody here is high on Cole Kmet. He just got paid. He's an ascending pass-catching tight end. They spent a lot of money on DeAndre Swift, and we, at different points, I feel like you and I must have picked a different name every other time we had this argument about who would be their best player this year. But DeAndre Swift's name came up many times in those conversations, and this is exactly what you thought you were paying for you signed him.
He was the player when my friends asked what Bear should I draft for fantasy. He was the one I'd always pick, and it wasn't because I thought he was better than DJ Moore or Cole Kmet necessarily, but I thought he would get the bulk of their work. And I think it was a mild surprise. You know, it's Ned Flanders' favorite surprise is mild. Do you know that? It's a mild surprise, I think, that he got as much work as he did today. I half expected Roshan Johnson to come in and take away snaps from him, and he really didn't. Swift wound up with 16 carries for 93 yards and a 36-yard touchdown. He also led the team in receptions and yards. He had 7 catches for 72. Jason, he's the first Bears running back, first Bears player in 9 years to have 70 passing yards or 70 receiving yards and 70 rushing yards. The last one to do that was Jeremy Langford against the Rams in St. Louis, a game I was at. This is who he needs to be. And, you know, when the Bears offense is good, DeAndre Swift is doing this and helping Caleb Williams. How many times today did we see Caleb scan the field and go, nope, check it down.
Yeah.
Check it down. You get 6 yards, you live to fight another day. And that's good because that's a great habit for the quarterback to get into, and he'll do it more the more successful it is.
He targeted DeAndre Swift 7 times. That's the most of anybody. DJ Moore was next with 6. Mm-hmm. I think with DeAndre Swift, you saw it right out of the gate that he looked the best he's looked since this season for the Bears. I think he started the game with a 6-yard run or something like that. He looked sharper.
Which is an accomplishment.
There was a lot more up and down, a lot more forward action and less side to side. And that 30, like, you have a complete game from him running wise today, because that 36 yard run where he had to run through quite a bit of defenders' territories before he really broke away and was gone. I mean, he really wasn't through it all until about the 5 or 10 yard line.
Right.
Even if you take, so you get some of that with him, which is what you want. But if you take that play out, he's still pretty close to 4 yards per carry the rest of the day. That is a really reliable, steady running back who has the potential to deliver huge plays for you. And then to catch all 7 passes that are thrown for him for 72 yards. But it's just a really, really good, complete game. Absolutely got every penny's worth on the DeAndre Swift contract today.
The Bears ran 28 times, and they dropped back to pass 26 times, 23 passes and 3 sacks. That's a pretty great split. And you can get away with that when you're winning. You can get away with that when you have a defense that you trust, and you can get away with that when you're having some success on the ground.
Pat, you can also get away with that against one of the worst defenses in the league. The Rams have been a terrible defense in terms of giving up points, giving up passer rating, not a great run defense. I don't want to make a lot of qualifiers for this performance for the Bears, because the fact that they did this against anybody is a step forward.
Because they didn't last week. Right. Last week they faced a similar defense and couldn't do it.
Or week one.
Right.
But there is always always the question you have to ask of, is this going to be something that they can take moving forward? Now, next week, they bring Carolina in here, which is just the perfect medicine for whatever ails you at any time. But at some point, I think that the schedule has always been favorable to them in the first half. It's really favorable right now because you can gain some momentum. You really have a big opportunity for another week that looks like this or better before you start getting into some more dangerous teams.
Yeah, and we were talking about this too. I mean, there's a world where they, they're going to face Carolina next week. The Jaguars right now are 0-4 after blowing a lead against
the Texans. Did they lose today?
They did, 24-20.
Oh, my gosh.
They were up 20-17, and the Texans scored in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
You know, Jaguars are 0-4. I mean, there's a world where the Bears can beat 3 of the, 8 worst teams in football probably going into the bye and sit there and go, we haven't lost in a month. Like, that's a good way to get confidence going in what you're doing. And, you know, I don't think they have to apologize for taking care of business against bad teams, especially a week after they failed to do that. It helps when you've got this defense, though.
Last week's defense that they faced was pretty bad, too. The Colts were bad and missing people.
Yeah, and they couldn't do it. And, you know, this is the first good quarterback they faced all – or, I'm sorry, it's the second good quarterback they faced all year. It was the first time all year they played somebody who wasn't in his second season.
Yeah, by far the most accomplished quarterback they faced.
And you know what? Stafford, there were times when Stafford looked like a world beater, but still 20 for 28 for 224, 3 sacks, no touchdowns and a pick. Passer rating
almost 2 picks.
Yeah, passer rating of 77.4. Boy, that's a really good performance by that Bears defense. Namely, and you mentioned it, Jaquan Brisker. Brisker had the game-winning interception at the end, which was, you know, it was academic. I don't think there were many people in the building who thought that the Rams could go 90 yards to win the game. But
oh, man, that was for sure a concern.
Oh, you
oh my gosh, yes. And only up 6? That would have been just an epic and classic Bears heartbreak.
I think the one thing about
it... that one counted, Pat. That one... That interception by Jaquan Brisker was not during garbage time.
Well, the one that didn't count was when he was ruled to have been out of bounds, I believe in the first quarter, and he didn't establish 2 feet before intercepting a pass. It was strange because he was covering a receiver who just ran his route out of bounds. So that pick got wiped off. He also had a 15-yard penalty for hitting somebody late. Earlier and not on that same drive, but in the second half he comes up with a pick. He comes up with a safety blitz, and you know, practically rips Matthew Stafford's helmet clean off. It's a pretty good day for him, and a good day for Montez Sweat as well, forcing that fumble to lead to the first touchdown. Really put some oxygen in the building here, because before that it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, there was a lot on their defense that looked good. Brisker is a mixed bag. It seems like most weeks you're gonna get some good and some bad. But yeah, it was kind of crawling along in the first half, Patrick, as this really same old, typical, absolutely boring Bears game. The second half was a lot better. The second half there was a lot better from the Bears on both sides of the ball.
And then there's the punter. Let's talk about the punter before we get out of here, Jason, because it's never a bad time to talk about the punter.
Well, when you draft one in the fourth round, we better be talking about him. You better give us a reason to talk about the punter.
Until Torrey Taylor had to hit a chip shot at the end of the game to pin the Rams, he was on pace, or he was going to be the ninth kicker in the history of football to average 60 yards a punt in a game. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. I will point out, looking at the flags right now, Jason, that maybe it's a little wind dated, but a really good game from him. And can I call him the crocodile punter, or he doesn't like that?
Well, he doesn't like it. I mean, you've called him that before, and he didn't like it, so I guess, I don't know, it doesn't seem to bother you.
How about Kingpin? Do you like that? I like Kingpin. His issue was he didn't like anything Australian.
Yeah, he thought it was hacky. He did.
I won't say anything.
He pinned. If you look at the Rams' starting position, they did not start a possession better than their own 30 the entire game. And their last two possessions with the game on the line starting from their own 8 on Torrey Taylor punts.
Right. And one of them was their 66-yarder. Was that the long? That was pretty impressive as well. You know, the Bears talked about him when they drafted him as being a weapon. And, you know, if you've got a defense that can hold an opponent to 18 points, and if you got a punter who can do that, that's a pretty good position that you're putting your offense in. And the Bears offense did take advantage. It was pretty cool to watch. I don't get too excited about punters, but boy, that was fun.
Well, he had, when you say that they talk about him as a weapon, he had that in his mind a little bit today. He was very unhappy with his game last week against the Colts. The word he used to describe it is not fit for this podcast, but he talked about coming out and being more his typical aggressive mindset today. And you saw that toward the end. You saw that in what he was trying to do at the end of the games, and at the end of the game. And Patrick, he also said, you know, we talk all the time about Soldier Field being the worst venue in the league for kickers,
right,
for kicking extra points and field goals. It's unique for punters too. And he said, you just have to you have to learn it so you can use it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. And that kicking into the wind, as he was at the end of the game on that 66-yard punt, the wind is different at different levels out here, sure, for one, and it's blowing crosswise. It was going a little bit left to right, he said. And he said, you can use that to not only trick the returner a little bit, mm-hmm, and use the wind to kind of carry it off to one side, but you can also use the wind to get a little bit of hang time, mm-hmm, for yourself.
And hold it up a little bit. Jason, we're looking at sprinklers going right now. If you just look at the water spray, not the direction that the sprinklers pointed, but the way the water sprang, I have it going about 4 different directions at 4 different parts of the field. So
it's a nightmare to try to put the ball in the air. We've seen passes last year that sailed. Remember there was one from Justin Fields to Bayless Jones that started like over the center of the field and went to the sideline?
It's not even the winter time. It's barely the fall.
Weird here, man.
Going into this week, Jason, obviously a Panthers team coming up that's beatable or can be a trap, depending on how you want to look
at it. And hungry, Patrick. Oh, Andy Dalton, revenge tour.
Do you think that maybe, you know, like we had talked earlier, maybe kind of getting out of that crisis mode, or at least building off of a win, do you think it has a chance to be I don't want to say multiplier because that's too football-y, but do you think that the Bears can build on this in a way that might have been hard this past week when they're coming off a loss?
I think it's a lot like playing with the lead in a game where you just feel a little more confident. You don't feel like you're under pressure constantly to try to get back to 500. Every game doesn't quite probably feel like life and death. It should, but it probably doesn't feel that way to you. And so you're able to play a little freer. Mm-hmm. And it's really good timing for them to have the Panthers coming in because they should be 3-1 on paper. The Bears should have beaten the Colts. They should have played better against the Titans. Things didn't really prove out that way. Caleb Williams took some time. Shane Waldron has taken some time. But you were in a scenario where this could have gotten really bad on you, to where you're 1-3. You probably beat the Panthers next week no matter what, because you're always going to beat the Panthers. But you could have been, you know, you talk about going into that bye week feeling good potentially next month. You could have gone into that bye week sitting there at 2-4.
4-2. 2-4. Oh yeah.
With your only wins being against the Panthers and the squeaker to open the season against the Titans, and that would have created a real mess. I think that would have created a lot of, and we're, I'm assuming now they're going to steer clear of that scenario by beating the Panthers. But if you'd gone into your bye week 2-4, where there's still quite a bit to play for mm-hmm. for the season, but you have wildly underachieved, that puts the organization in a tough spot with some tough decisions to make. They have kind of pulled themselves out of that pressure cooker by winning this game, and I assume taking care of the Panthers next week.
Panthers lost by 10 at home to the Bengals today.
Winless Bengals.
Like you said, on paper, not a lot to worry about. But to quote Cole Kmet last week, I'd rather have our roster than theirs. And you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter a lick when it came to the final score against the Colts. So being on paper, it you know, it used to be, Jason, that the Bears were only better on paper than like two teams in football. So it was worth talking about. Now that, you know, they're more middle of the pack, it still doesn't matter whether or not they're good. Jason, we're good? Okay, Jason is currently winding his headphones up around his tape recorder. That's the international sign of shut it down. He's Jason Leacher. I'm Patrick Finley. You can follow us on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website, on the app, or if you live in town, in print. We will be back again later this week to preview that Panthers game. For Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.